The gospel reading for today is from John 2, verses 1 through 11. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from. Through the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." This is the first of his miraculous signs Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Our text is that which you have already heard. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. I have preached on this particular passage, section in Scripture, so many times. I have dealt with it from so many different angles, from Jesus and his mom's interaction with each other, the idea of it being that first miracle, the recognition that that first miracle was about wine, the idea of the wedding taking place I've also preached on. I've also preached on the idea of his saving the best for last kind of concept. But one thing I never really touched on and jumped out at me as I was reading it again this time was the idea of that one line in there in particular where we're told Jesus says, "My time has not yet come." And I thought, time has not yet come. Time, we have all kinds of ways that we tell time. You can tell time with clocks on the wall, of course. You can use sand. You can use water. You can use candles. They make special candles that burn down by an hour at a time. You can see them. They used to do oil lamps that way, that as the oil went down a certain amount, there would be a little ribbon that would hang on the side that would show as the time was going down, as it would burn. These were all just as accurate as what we do today. Sun, you can tell time by the sun. Even without a sundial in your hand, you can use to determine time. If you're out at night and have stars that are visible, you can actually tell time through the night by the stars as around the North Star they start doing their shifting of position if you know what you're looking for. Now, we simply just kind of crank out our wrist, and actually most people don't even bother with that. They pull out their phone nowadays, right, to look at the time. In my house, you shout the word, "Alexa, what time is it?" and you'll hear a voice coming out of nowhere. It magically tells you the time. Usually don't bother with that. Want to know more the temperature than the time when I'm going outside. But time is something that we really... in a sense, obsessed with. We want to know what time it is. There's an old saying that says, a man with one watch always knows what time it is. A man with two is never sure. Makes sense, right? Because they're never going to be perfectly in sync all of the time. And that's what we deal with. At the wedding of Cana, Mary tells Jesus that they've run out of wine. And Jesus responds, what? "Dear woman, why do you bother me? Why do you involve me? And what has this got to do with me? My time has not yet come." Now, she obviously knew that his time was coming, and what we're referring to here is recognizing what he came for, his death and resurrection. She didn't know what was going to take place, but she knew it was time for him to start doing what he was about, because he was of that age now. The age of 30, that's when you were considered an adult male. And women were considered adults a lot earlier for marriage purposes, unfortunately. But men were considered an adult male at 30, and that's when they could speak publicly. Well, he had hit that point, so it's now time, in a sense. But his time had not yet come because of what he truly came for. Sure, he did miracles. Sure, he walked on water. Sure, he healed people. But his time here was all about what he was going to do at the end of that life. And that was to die and rise again. His time had not yet come. But she knows that it's time for those things to start, whatever that is, that path. And so she comes to her son. And his response, "Dear woman, why do you involve me? If my mother had asked me to take out the trash when I was younger, and I said, 'Dear woman, why do you involve me? My time has not yet come,' I probably would have heard, 'Your time is not going to be much longer,' or 'Your time is getting pretty short.' Yeah, I think your time is up." But I don't, you could ask her afterwards yourself what she said. I probably did say that, and then I said, "Yes, but you'll have so much time in your room for the next 2 weeks." The time is something that was significant here. More so than his address to his mom was the understanding of what you need to think about next, and that's what's coming. And his time, like my time would have been, was closer than they thought. His ministry was short. Later in John chapter 7, Jesus tells his brothers that he won't go to the feast with them because his time had not yet come. That also had to do because he knew that there were going to be those that were against him that were going to seek to lay hands on him, and it wasn't time for him to be captured yet. He knew that there was that time that was coming. And we heard said about him on other occasions, on more than one occasion, where it said they could not lay hands on him, or they could not find him, for his time had not yet come. In the idea that they tried to follow him, tried to take him, and it wasn't time yet. But what was the time Jesus was waiting for? What was the time? I mean, beyond the understanding that yes, that time when he would die on the cross, but he knew he had a lot of things to do him before that, and for him to focus on that time not yet come. I mean, was he also hoping in the meantime that everybody was going to follow him, that everybody was going to believe, that every knee would bow? Because it's certainly not any more likely today than it was back then when he was with us. I mean, the world is the way the world is, and there are those that will follow, and there are those that will not follow and will not believe. Perhaps Jesus really, in saying the time had not come, was giving us time. And Jesus going through this ministry and this life, he was giving us time, an opportunity. In his not returning yet, again, to bring that new heaven and new earth, that new age into being, he's giving us time. He said, my time, in another place in John 7, he said, my time has not yet come. But he says, but your time is always here, to his disciples. Your time is always here. And that works for us too. Jesus had a purpose to fulfill. He did other things along the way, but he had a purpose to fulfill. For us, our time is now. From the time of our baptism, we've been God's disciples and children. We are to follow him and to live for him, to do the things that he desires us to do. His time may not have come at that point yet, but his disciples' time to start their ministry was already there. His return time has not yet come, but our time to share the gospel and to care for others is already here. Our time is always here. We're called to be Christ to others, to be his hands and his feet, to go out and to care for this world, to love others as he loves us, to show his forgiveness to the world as he's shown that forgiveness to us. Our time is here. We're the ones that are to be conscious of what we need to be about as his followers. In Galatians it says about Christ, it said, when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son. when the fullness of time had come. When it was the right time, that's when Jesus came. For us, the time is now. In Ecclesiastes, we get that great phrase about time. To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, and that time in between. What do we do with that time? I mean, does God know what time it is for us in our lives? He lives outside of time. He lives in the past, He lives in the present, He lives in the future. All at once. That's kind of hard for us to fathom how that works. Actually, it's impossible for us to fathom truly how that works. But God lives outside of time. He sees tomorrow as if it were today. And He sees 1,000 years from now as if it were yesterday. And He knows all of this all at once. God sees what will happen tomorrow. He sees what will happen next year. We're told, you know, from 1,000 years from now, God is going to know what is going on. It's visible for God. There's a saying that time is nature's way of keeping everything from happening all at once. That's kind of true. Time keeps everything from happening all at once. For us, at least. For God, it's happening all at once. But time was a gift to us. Time was made for us to be able to have the time to be the people God wants us to be, to grow into the faith that He desires for us, to accomplish the things that He has laid out for us. God is timeless. Everything is going on for Him all of the time at one time. But for us, we live in space and time, and we have to live for this day. We're told in Psalm 90, for 1,000 years in your sight is like yesterday when it's past, or like a watch in the night. God knows it all. He sees it all. In 2 Peter, it says, but don't ignore this fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like one day. God is aware of it all. I'm reminded of the story of the little boy that could have the conversations with God openly, and God talked to him regularly. And the boy brought up at one point, he said, Lord, is it true that a day is like 1,000 years to you and 1,000 years like a day? And God said, yes, it is. He said, well, would that be kind of like then like a penny being like $1,000 and $1,000 being like a penny to you? And God said, well, kind of. So the boy says, God, could I have a penny? And God said, give me a day. Yeah, wait for it. God tells us that time is there for us. And we still don't understand it. We have people that kind of come up with all kinds of concepts regarding time that there is absolutely no way to prove. Ideas of time warping, time changing, time shifting, alternate time frames, time slowing down around black holes, time. We don't get time. We don't understand it. And if we have a lifetime again, we will still fail to understand all there is to know about this and how it works. Mary had a grasp on what was important here, though. Because as Jesus says to Mary, you know, why do you involve me? My time has not yet come. She recognizes what we need to recognize, and that's what God was directing for all of us. Like I said, it says in the Scriptures, but it's always our time. Our time is always before us. She says, do whatever He tells you to those that are standing there. She knows that they need to be ready to do whatever Christ is saying, to follow Him, to listen to Him. And His direction was very simple to them, but it was about to get a whole lot more complicated in that ministry. And boy, those words, if you will, Mary was the first one to get evangelically minded in this new faith, because she's saying, do whatever He tells you. And isn't that just the same thing we could say to everybody right now? Do whatever He tells us. How do I live as a Christian? Do whatever He says. How do I show my love for the Lord? Do whatever He says. That's very simple. Just do what he says. Do whatever he tells you now. And throughout all your days, because though his time has not yet come, he's not back yet, our time is already here. The work that we're called to is upon us. What a great response she had. Do whatever he tells you. God will answer us as we live out this time and question him on the understanding with a simple statement that comes from Scripture of follow me. That's what Jesus said. Mary's response, do whatever he tells you. That it's so basic. You want to live as a child of God and be a child of God. It's that simple. Follow. Do what he says. We pray and we question, God will answer us. We wonder what we should do. We look for the way we should walk, the way we should talk, the way we should teach, the way we should reach out. And the Bible is there for us. You want to know what God is leading you to, then just follow him. Do what he's saying to do in this life. Be the people he says to be in this life. Live according to his rules in this life. Follow his laws in this life. Where he says yes, say yes. Where he says no, go along with it and say no. Don't try and make his no's into yeses because of some earthly idea of right and wrong or good and bad. Do what he tells you. We know that Jesus is on our side already because what he said he had to wait for at that time has already taken place, his death and his resurrection. And so we can follow this God who has given everything for us and seeking to give him as much of ourselves as we can physically and spiritually do with this life. And do you have time to follow the Lord? If you don't make the time to follow God, then you'll find out what time is like without him. And that's not the time that we want to spend in eternity. One thing I understand about time, I don't understand a lot of the different concepts about time, all the sci-fi ideas that come into mind too about time, and those are all kind of fun, but time, I don't understand. But what I do understand is what God says regarding our time, that we need to be listening to and following the Lord. And that there's no time like now to do that. Because for us and for his return, the time is probably a lot closer than you think. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds, and your lives always in Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, and our God. Amen.